Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. This part of the show is sponsored by Sovereign Health. Coming up at 7 o'clock, we have the CEO and founder of Tipping Point Community, David Lurie, on the phone. We are going to be doing a big fundraiser for them tomorrow morning, a couple different Bay Club locations. All the details are at RadioAlice.com. And we want to find out where our money's going to go. Where your money's going to go is probably a better way to say it. So about 7 o'clock, we'll be talking with Daniel Lurie, the CEO and founder of Tipping Point Community, which is where 100% of our donations not just tomorrow, but also the people who are donating via text at 20222.
Oh, by the way, as of yesterday, we had already raised about $1,100.
Oh,
good.
Fantastic. Thanks, guys. And you can go to Tipping Point Community, tippingpoint.org/Alice. That is another way to make a donation if you don't want to text it in. If you or a loved one are suffering from addiction or mental health problems, Sovereign Health provides confidential treatment services and support to solve your problems. Call 888-383-CARE. Insurance accepted. So we begin and end with Matt Lauer today. I mean,
so that's the big curiosity I have, because I read more about him yesterday. And it seems, although there's quite a bit of hostility and some extreme reports about his marriage, it seems he was well liked.
It does.
Which is,
I don't know if
contrary
I'll get
to the vibe I got from the guy or have had from the guy. Like I said yesterday, it was very sort of Letterman-esque, which is he's that got that New York sort of ego thing going with less talent.
Right.
By comparison to Letterman, in my opinion. But as I read about it, people were like, everyone here liked him. He was a nice guy to work with. Hmm. So I don't, but they also the reports were he'd been carrying on in the city. The number of affairs was astounding. And that's what when the wife had filed for divorce, citing cruel and humane treatment, he was just doing what he wanted,
right,
according to what I read.
Yeah.
He didn't have any kind of concern.
Padma Lakshmi,
love her.
Yeah, she's great. She's on a lot of the cooking shows, and
Top
I guess
chef,
she
yeah.
goes in on a fairly regular basis and does cooking segments with him. So she showed up yesterday for her cooking segment that they had scheduled. She said it was like walking into a morgue.
Oh,
she
I'm sure.
Said, you know, the mood in there was just shell shocked and silent and stunned. I guess she had to do the segment with Al Roker. But she was, so while she said, I'm friends with Matt, I've never been treated anything but respectfully there, but she, of course, you know, stands by the victims, and it is victims with an S. NBC, in case you haven't heard, fired Matt Lauer yesterday. A female colleague accused him of inappropriate sexual conduct during the 2014 Winter Games in Sochi, Russia. She said his behavior continued in the workplace after the games. The woman reported Matt Monday night, but in a memo to staff, NBC News said that the allegations represented, quote, a clear violation of our company's standards. So what I've written, there's a million stories coming from a million sources, but what it sounds like is this woman was sent sexts from him, and that there is at least one picture in there that the bosses took one look at, because she screenshotted everything and saved everything and had a high-powered lawyer ready to... She still works at the company. Remained nameless, but she was basically saying, look, this went on. It continued to go on once we got home from the games, and here are the screenshots of all the stuff. And they say there was at least one picture on there that the bosses just went, I don't see how this is unfightable. And
cut our losses here.
Let's cut it. Right. We'll cut our top talent on our top show right now.
Well, it had to be something like that because the contracts are drawn up in such a way that you'd think they'd have to have a black and white clear, we have to fire this guy. He broke the rules.
Right.
Period. No wiggle room, no debate.
It had to be that,
right?
Probably, yeah, probably some ethics clause in his contract. I think his contract is up next year. He had a contract for $20 million a year.
Right.
But
it's pretty good pay.
You don't have to pay that off, right? That contract.
Well, you guess that you don't.
That's one of those things where normally the people in charge of I mean, what, I don't. They're not a program director. What is that?
News director.
Whatever news. Whoever's in charge there would have to go.
Or executive producer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We have to send this to the lawyers, and they have to tell us what to do.
Right.
And that would take who knows how long. But they acted with surprising quickness.
They certainly did.
So I knew it was going to be something like that. Like,
right.
Is that his wiener and his face in the same photo?
Right. This is that's irrefutable evidence.
And
right.
His hand. What is happening here? What's happening?
Like, we can't. There's Matt. That's your face and your man zone. And we're laughing and it's not funny because there's a lady who was just trying to go to work. And right. I don't know what they're. You know, that's the other thing. We don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about it. Were they having an affair and then jumped out of it and he didn't want to let that end? I don't know.
Right.
We don't know. And my question is, has he spoken yet?
He has.
Oh, he has.
Yeah. Actually, if you want, we can go to the clip from this morning. So, you know, obviously it's 9 a.m. on the East Coast, but when they opened the show, I want to say I heard a clip of Savannah Guthrie reading a statement from Matt Lauer.
This is yesterday.
Oh, no, this is yesterday. They're just recapping.
Oh.
The one you played was the right one. It said they received sexual allegations. That was different than the one from yesterday. I think they're about to get into the Matt apology note. He released a statement basically saying he's embarrassed and his full-time job is now to fix this stuff. Because it got plenty. So NBC added that they were presented with reason to believe that this was not an isolated incident. They also said that these were the first allegations against Lauer in the more than 20 years he's been with NBC and the Today Show. There are a lot of people who are saying that's not true. These are the first ones you've acknowledged. Later in the day, the floodgates opened yesterday. Two more women came forward with complaints. One of them said Matt called her into his office in 2001 and had sex with her, and she was afraid to resist because she thought she might lose her job. Variety posted the results of a two-month investigation into Matt's behavior, alleging multiple incidents over the years. They say Matt once gave a woman a sex toy and an explicit note on how he wanted to use it on her. He exposed himself to another woman and then reprimanded her when she refused to engage in a sexual act. He would also, I suppose if there wasn't other stuff, this could maybe fall into banter. He would ask female producers who they'd slept with, offer to trade names. He would make people play marry, F, or kill. Excuse me. And there were consensual relationships, but it's alleged that he often chose people he had power over so that they wouldn't be in a position to complain. Several women told Variety they did complain to NBC and nothing was done. One former employee said Matt's behavior was well known, but he was well protected. He was their biggest moneymaker.
Mm-hmm.
For 20 years, he was the captain of the biggest ship on NBC. NBC told CNN that no current member of NBC News management was ever made aware of his alleged misconduct. And one more kind of gross detail, Matt apparently had a button at his desk that would lock his door. So when you walked in, he could lock the door behind you.
That's outrageous. What?
It's disgusting. I mean, I suppose he could
say,
God, I'm too lazy to get up and lock the door. I know. Imagine hearing that door click locked behind you. I'd be like, oh no. What's happening? What's happening?
Oh my gosh.
He's been married to his second wife, Annette, since 98. They have three kids. This is the one who we were just talking about. She filed for divorce in 06, cruel and inhumane treatment. They managed to reconcile, I guess, in a way. They live completely separately. She's raising their kids on Long Island, and he lives in the city and, you know, wants to see his kids. And
on the weekends.
Maybe it's, you know, it's a cheaper to keep her situation.
Right.
And he, I'm sure, certainly didn't want any information being revealed. He clearly wanted to keep all that close to his vest. He makes about $20 million a year. He's under contract through next year. You know, when Bill O'Reilly was kicked out earlier this year, he got a big settlement. And I'm not sure if that was just because the wording of his contract made that necessary, or if, you know.
What'd he get, like $22 million? Does that sound right?
Some huge amount of money.
To walk.
Just to, yeah. And when they let him go, he got a big, here's some money, settlement. So I don't know if they'll settle something with Matt, or if this is enough to just, you know, give, show him the door and not have to deal with him again. Oh, here's his statement, which I'm sure we'll play later in the show. And maybe that's...
It's interesting that he sent it straight to them and had them read it. That's a move. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. Well, if you really think about it, that's, you know, that's probably a pretty safe place for him to send it. Those are, you know, coworkers that he didn't... sexually molest.
They don't know about the door lock.
They don't know.
His,
I don't know. Well, I don't know if they know about it or not, but they don't, you know, they seemed to be genuinely shocked and saddened yesterday. So I'm sure he felt like, well, that's at least a place where I can get it out there into the world without, you know, people snickering as they deliver it like we would do.
So I guess the guy just thought the whole workforce was his dating pool.
Apparently so. He will not be missed by some of his co-workers. Former MSNBC host Keith Olbermann tweeted, Matt Lauer was vindictive and tyrannical, and to everyone at NBC News and management repeatedly enabled him and buried the issue.
Who said that?
Keith Olbermann.
See, that's one of the things that I was, when I said that yesterday, I was thinking, I'd heard he was...
not a good person.
Like, pretty jerky.
Not, well, we heard bully.
Not this stuff
right.
that is currently being, you know... uncovered, but just that he was, like Letterman, super nasty.
Into himself.
Like a nasty person, you know? One of those people who's just, I don't have a use for you, so I won't be talking to you kind of guy.
Right. Numerous other current and past Today staffers also expressed surprise at NBC chief Andy Lack's claim that this was the first complaint against Lauer in 20 years, with one insider saying everybody knew about Matt's behavior and everyone had to put up with it because he was so powerful and well protected by management. But there's an NBC spokesperson who's saying we can say unequivocally that prior to Monday night, current NBC news management was never made aware of any complaints about Matt Lauer's conduct. And then a former NBC News boss, Jeff Zucker, he now runs CNN, also said no complaints while I was there.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So that's, let's put that to bed. Garrison Keillor, I think that's how
you say it. Keillor.
Keillor. Yeah. He's the Prairie Home Companion guy.
Love that
75
guy.
Years old. An old school comedian radio guy. He was fired by Minnesota Public Radio for alleged inappropriate behavior with a female coworker.
You know who works there, right?
Who?
Our old boss.
Our old boss works.
Doesn't he run that place?
He's
in Minnesota.
Well, runs. He runs the music program there.
Right.
Who's our old boss?
Our old boss. Jim McGuinn.
I'm like, oh.
Yeah, not your old boss. Me and Vinny, the guy who put me and Vinny together. Keillor says he went to pat the woman on the back to console her, and his hand accidentally went a few inches up her shirt. And that at the time, he apologized and she accepted, and he didn't hear anything more about it until her lawyer just called him. He is 75 years old, and he's now.
Well, I'm sorry, when did that happen?
It does not say in this particular story. So I don't know if this was just a long time ago and suddenly she's feeling empowered to come forward, or, I mean, it is true. Sometimes you pat someone on the back and accidentally your hand's up their shirt. I mean, that.
I hate when that happens.
Dude, I just fell into your shirt. Sorry about that. I'm not going to get into this Jay-Z thing now. It's just there's too much. It's too good. He did a big interview with the New York Post.
I saw some of it this morning.
Does he talk
about is it the Post or the Times?
It was the Times.
Yeah.
Does he talk about the elevator incident?
He talks, well, I don't think the guy specifically asked him about that, but he talks about everything. He talks about cheating on Beyonce. He talks about, his whole life growing up.
Wow. He's clearly, it didn't come off like he was making excuses to me. He's clearly done some work on himself, though, and he does make some points about how he came up and how he doesn't have feelings.
Yeah. He
didn't
said
have
he's
any
just
feelings.
Super cold, and he just treated.
That's the way you protect yourself when you come up in harsh environments, poor and in.
He said, "Here's the quote." He was discussing psychotherapy, and that's when he made his admission of infidelity. He said, "You have to survive, so you go into survival mode. And when you go into survival mode, what happens? You shut down all emotion. So even with women, you got to shut down emotionally, so you can't connect. In my case, like it's deep, and then all the things happen from there." Infidelity. The guy interviewing him did not push him for details on that. But I guess part of this was they were talking about her Lemonade, the two albums that they did where they were basically yelling at each other.
Yeah.
He said that they did a lot of music together during that too, and that we can probably look forward to a, she said, he said, here's what they say together, that they may do a combo album. And put that out.
Well, her album with, the Becky with the good hair thing, she's saying it.
Yeah.
You've cheated on me.
Yes. Yep. And let me see. I think there's some quotes from him, too. I apologize. Here it is in his track 444. I apologize, often womanized, took for my child to be born, see through a woman's eyes, look for these natural twins to believe in miracles, took me too long for this song, I don't deserve you. He also talked about how he's closer than ever with his mom, Gloria Carter, who came out through his track Smile earlier this year. He said he's known since he was a teen that his mom was gay. He said we never spoke about it until like recently. Now we start having these beautiful conversations and just really getting to know each other. We were always good friends, but now we're really great friends. So it's a video interview, a lot of it. I'm sure it's probably written out somewhere as well. But when I clicked the link this morning, it's a video of the two of them sitting down. So if you're interested, I guess I did just do the Jay-Z story.
No, well, that was good. That was good info.
I didn't think we had time for it, and probably we didn't. All right, Vinny, what's coming up in the news?
Somebody's rich in Oakland and love.
Oh,
after these.
Love. Radio.com. Radio.com. Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. This portion of the program is brought to you by HSBC Bank. Caller 9 right now, 800-400-3697. Scores a pair of tickets to San Francisco's hilarious pop culture musical review, Steve Silver's Beach Blanket Babylon. That is a show that's been running for...
How
long have been going? My God. Forever. So caller number 9 right now gets a pair of tickets to check that out, 800-400-3697. At HSBC, while they're proud to be named the world's best bank, the real reward is helping their customers achieve their dreams. HSBC, awarded the world's best bank in 2017 by Euromoney.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by the Bay Club. Ease back into your routine today with a free 3-day pass. Visit bayclubs.com/routine to get started. We will both, actually, the whole show is going to be out at two separate Bay Club locations. The boys will be down south in Los Gatos. The girls will be in Marin.
With Johnny Mosley.
And Vonda.
And Vonda.
Yeah, Vonda will be there too. All the girls. Poor Vaughn. I think he secretly just hates it when we call him that. Like
it was a true mistake that I made. I didn't mean to call it. His handle on Instagram is Vaughn Duh. Wizard, but it's all one word.
Yeah, Vonda.
So when
Wizard.
I saw it, I went, who's Vonda Wizard?
Who's that girl?
Who is that?
Is that like Vonda Shepherd's sister or something?
I think it was Brynn that went, that's Vaughn, dude. And I went, oh.
Oh, yes, Vaughn. The Wizard.
Got it. I wouldn't have thought that. Anyway, all right, so he'll be up there with
the
you.
The girls. Go to RadioAlice.com for all the info on that.
Yeah, we're going
to
be raising money for the fire victims in the North Bay. It's good. The money's going to go through Tipping Point, and we'll be talking to the CEO and founder of Tipping Point to hopefully make you feel a little more comfortable about who we've chosen to distribute right. your generous donations. Because I hadn't really heard of them, but they, as I've looked into it, are excellent.
Yes. Daniel Lurie, the CEO and founder of Tipping Point, is going to be on at about 7:05.
Here's what's happening. There was a winning Powerball ticket worth $374,000 sold in Oakland.
Oh.
So if you've recently played, you're going to want to check your ticket. The ticket was purchased at De Huang Sandwich and Coffee Shop East 12th Street, right near just a few blocks south of Lake Merritt. And it was for Saturday's Powerball. And no one's turned it in yet. So the people at the lottery are saying, please sign the back of your ticket and keep it in a safe place. Whether or not you want to come right in, sign your ticket. It's good money.
Yeah.
$374K?
That's solid
yeah.
lottery winnings. Yes to that.
Sarah, do you believe in love at first sight?
I do.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Yes.
You do?
I had it. The moment I saw Johnny V, I'm like, oh my God. I turned to my girlfriend. I go, look at that guy. She's like, that's our new boss. I'm like, oh, you're gonna marry me. And then I went home, called my mom, said I met the man I'm going to marry.
You did?
Whatever. 16 years later, I married him. Yeah.
He was married at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question about that before I move on into the story. So when you said, I met the man I'm going to marry to your mom, how many times before that had you said that same sentence?
Excellent
never.
Question. Oh,
never.
Never.
Never. Like even I had that long-standing boyfriend for 12 years.
Uh-huh.
I never said to my mom or anybody that I was going to marry him.
So that came sort of out of nowhere, like an inspiration, like this person I'll marry.
That's the dude.
Uh-huh. Huh.
The clouds parted, the angels mm-hmm. sang.
All right. Well, I don't
sweet.
Necessarily
I just love him so much.
Believe in love at first sight. But I have said, the reason I asked the question is, I have said, I met my wife a million times. In grocery stores, in bars, at parties.
Boy, that girl gets around.
No, that's the thing. It's not the same person. It's
oh.
it's the just that feeling like, oh my God, you're so beautiful. You're for me. You're mm. perfect. Mm. You're everything I want to know about.
And then she goes, hey, nice to meet you, too. Oh, sure you can help me with my bags. Oh, I love you, too. I took one look at you and thought, I'm marrying that guy. You're never going to get rid of me.
A new study. Okay, let me ask you this question. Do you think John felt that way about you? Like
no.
He
was with someone. I just, you know, we were friends for years before anything ever happened between us.
A new study out of the University of Groningen in the Netherlands.
Oh.
I don't speak the
Dutch?
Netherlandian. So I'm not sure how to say Groningen.
That sounds right.
Okay. They found that there's really no such thing as love at first sight.
Oh, that's sad.
So why do some people believe in it, they say? Researchers found that if someone said they'd fallen in love with someone at first sight, it was actually just because they thought the person was super smoking hot.
Well, sure.
Yeah. That is the first step, sexual attraction.
In other words, you didn't fall in love with that person at first sight. You fell in,
lust.
I really want to bone that guy. Easy.
Hey, took me years to do it, Vinny, but
years?
I did it. Yeah.
He was married, dude.
He was married to his ex-wife back then, and he was my boss. I would barely talk to him. When I like someone, I don't talk to them.
Oh.
It's a weird thing
that
I have. Yeah, or I'm embarrassed. So I would get my schedule from him. We'd meet him at the bars. I was a bud girl, and I'd meet him at the bars, and then I wouldn't talk to him. And then I ran into him at a bar years later after I finished working for the company, and then found out he was divorced.
Made your move.
I said, when are you taking me out?
Your move.
Yeah, that's my move. Right. When are you taking me out?
And what did he say?
He said, how about tonight? I said, how about tonight?
It was on.
And the rest is history.
I had him meet me at a hotel bar because I was doing that night.
Oh.
You said, meet me at this bar, knowing that that's a hotel bar and that you would take him up to a room later that night.
And did you?
And then when we got there.
What hotel?
I don't know, someplace in San Jose, Hilton. I don't really remember what bar it was. But, that's when he said his line. His closer was, do you want to have dinner here or would you like to order room service? I said, room service!
Are you serious?
Heck yeah.
So he said, and you said, yeah, let's get a room.
Yeah.
Right then.
Right then and there.
And then did you order room service first or did you bone first?
We did it first.
No. So you went right up there. This was one of those where you start making out in the elevator and you're half your clothes are off before the door's unlocked.
Right. And then after we finished, we ordered room service. We ordered cheeseburgers and sat there naked eating our cheeseburgers looking at each other. I remember it like it was yesterday. Oh, Susan, you like it too? And then when I left the next morning, I had to work. I was working at KCBS, so I had to get up in, like, I don't know, 4 a.m. or something. Ugh. And so I'm leaving him. I remember what I was wearing, everything. And then I said, we're passing the people in the lobby. And then we're like, okay, all right, talk to you soon, whatever. And then I turn around. I go, hey, what did you say your name was? And they look at me like I'm a whore. I'm like laughing. Obviously, I knew his name. I've known him for years.
Right.
And then, Vinny, he was at my house every day since then.
Did you bang him again the next day?
I'm sure. He used to come home from work on his lunch.
Oh, to get busy.
Yeah.
Oh,
so great.
Oh, love.
One last thing from the study. They found that men were much more likely to say they fell in love at first sight than women are.
Yeah. Well, you have said it a lot.
I have. I admit it. Absolutely. This is one of those stories about something going viral. There's a family from Whittier, California, whose Christmas card has gone viral, and it's turned their daughter into a single person's hero.
Oh,
have you heard? You're shaking your head.
That's the one, Sarah?
It's so funny because I actually saw that. I laughed my ass off at this morning and sent it to Yuzette, and then we had like a whole email confusion over the thing. I'm so glad you're doing the story.
The Seawright family's card features the parents holding a sign that says, excited. One of their adult daughters and her fiance have a sign that says, engaged. And another daughter and her husband and their kid have a sign that says, expecting. And then there's the third adult daughter. She's alone with the sign that just says Emily.
It's so cute.
And since a lot of people can relate to Emily,
yeah,
she's becoming a viral sensation and a dating superhero.
Yeah, people are changing their status on Facebook to Emily. I am Emily.
She's the single person without the kid or the engagement or the, is that it?
Who
there
just
it is.
Gets tortured.
Can you post that on our Facebook, Bryn?
I sure can.
It is.
Isn't
very,
that
very
so
funny?
Cute? Yeah. They've all got like one garland, like a Christmas, you know, fuzzy Christmas garland, and it's sort of weaving through all the signs, and there's Emily on the end. I'm Emily. Excited, expecting, engaged. Emily.
Oh, boy.
It's adorable.
Anyway, you'll likely see that around. Her card has been retweeted hundreds of thousands of times now. It's everywhere.
It's adorable.
I thought this story would be appropriate since we have our boy back from paternity leave.
For the moment. We don't. This is the only week.
I know. He's going back to... Yeah.
Back to work.
Yep. It looks like Domino's is launching a baby registry.
Oh.
Domino's Pizza. Which at first I went, that's dumb. But they say, yeah, if you're expecting, you can register at dominosbabyregistry.com so your friends and family can buy you pizzas. Oh. And if you're thinking, like, why would you? It's right after the kid is born.
Yeah, you need food.
You want food and you can't cook.
All right.
And it'll come in handy. And I thought, oh, that is pretty good. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's not exactly healthy eating.
I know, but if you like Domino's, if you know this person, usually goes to Domino's, then that would be useful.
Sure. Can't really argue with it. Oh, really? Food? Great. Thanks.
That's when I went over Bryn's house, I brought them food.
Oh. Yeah, she did.
Oh, what'd she bring?
It was really good. It was quesadilla and what was the soup called? You
albóndigas.
Albóndigas.
Oh, Spanish meat or Mexican really meatball soup.
Right, uh-huh.
Thanks again. Yeah. It was delicious.
And then, you know how to
so
make
sweet.
That?
Yeah.
Oh, you can make a bundegas soup.
Oh, absolutely.
God, that is so good.
Really
good.
That, I brought him a couple quesadillas and some salsa.
Yeah, some guacamole.
It's all stuff you made at your house.
Uh-huh.
You cooked. Oh, you're so sweet.
And beans.
And those beans
nice
had
thing.
So much flavor, too. They're great.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Threw it on top, threw it in the frying pan, got it all crispy underneath.
Yeah, it's a whole thing, man.
My mouth is watering now.
Quesadillas. Who can argue with cheese?
Yeah, cheese.
That kid thing is such a cold splash of water. It really, you think you're ready, and then it happens, and you're just like, I can't believe how overwhelmed all of us have become. Mm-hmm. I remember getting home and she'd go, can you go to the grocery store? And I'm like, what have you been doing all day? And it's only across the street. And she would just be like, how? I will kill you.
That's when she breaks down into tears. Please just go.
I will murder you. And I'm like, I don't understand. I have been trying to get this kid to eat. The kid wouldn't eat. Mm. It was killing her. Couldn't get the kid to, what did you call that? Latch?
Latch, yeah.
And you got, you're an expert, right?
Oh my God, yeah. I was grabbing the boob. It's kind of like forceful the way they grab the back of the baby's head and they grab the boob and they go, they wait for the baby to slightly open their mouth
and then
just slam it into the boob and then it happens.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And so I caught on after the second time I saw it. I started doing it for her.
Oh, well.
One boob.
That's helpful.
Got the head. The nurses were so impressed with me. Wow, look at
you,
Dad.
Yeah, I never picked up on that. Huh. Maybe it's partly my fault there. The lack of latch.
Damn it, Vinny.
The
latch.
I'll help you and your kid when that happens.
Okay, when that happens, you're welcome to. I'll just walk around topless. We have easy access. Okay. Sounds great.
So we're not having a kid then. Is that what you're getting at?
Pretty much.
All right. Our text number is 800-400. What? Hey, it's pronounced abóndigas.
Abóndigas?
Say
it easy.
I've been saying abóndigas my entire life.
Abóndigas?
So you can say whatever you want.
Abóndigas.
What is it, 707?
Yeah, I don't know, whatever. You knew what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Sarah and Vinny, of course the NBC bosses are claiming they never knew what Matt Lauer did. They're just trying to protect their own butts from being sued.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
Matt who again?
What? I'm sorry, what?
Oh, yeah, I never.
Nope, never heard a word about him. Because if I had, I surely would have done something about it.
Right. Hey guys, a lot of executives have remote locks on their office door for security purposes. My boss does.
Oh.
That makes sense. All of a sudden, when I read that, I went, oh, okay, so it's not for locking interns in his office. I mean, he might have used it for that.
That's what he used it for,
right.
But that's not
but
what it
I
was
But I could see
for.
If there was some kind of threat to a person,
yeah.
An on-screen person, that he would be able to lock his, they could call him and say, we've got a threat
shooter.
Loose in the
yeah.
building.
Right.
Lock
the alarms
your door.
Go off, you lock your door.
Boom. So that's why when you said it, I had this vision of him pulling one of the engineers. Like, if we have engineers down the hall, listen, I'm going to need you.
That's exactly what I thought. I'm like, how do you ask for that?
Like, what now?
Right, you want me to put a remote lock on your... I don't understand. Do they even have those?
Can't you see Dave being like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'll look into it.
We may have to. So under the desk, you say? Yeah. We're going to probably have to order.
I need it to be silent.
Yeah, I mean, that is just, I had this weird visual, but it does seem like a safety measure.
Sure.
That would make sense.
In place.
for, you know, a TV star that we don't know about this stuff. Oh, I'm out of time. What's coming up in the trash?
Well, we're going to start by talking with Daniel Lurie. He's the CEO and founder of Tipping Point Community. That's who we're doing our big fundraiser for, to help out everybody who are people who are fire victims in the North Bay. Right after these.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.